Okay, good evening, everybody. Last week, we were supposed to have a shiur about snow on Shabbos, and by way of introduction to the topic of snow on Shabbos, we spoke about the halacha of Ein Truman L'mayla Me'asara, or Yesh Truman L'mayla Me'asara. That is what the Gemara first deals with before dealing with the question of snow on Shabbos. Then, I started looking further into the sugya. At the end of last week's shiur, I said, okay, so next week we'll talk about snow on Shabbos. Then I realized we need to make another major hakdama in order to appreciate what the sugya of snow on Shabbos is all about. And in order to understand whether snow should be muktzah or not be muktzah, we have to first understand what is the halacha of muktzah. What's the story of muktzah on Shabbos? So that might take us this week and next week, and then perhaps maybe by the summertime when it stops snowing already, we'll actually get to our topic that we started. So let's begin like this. Muktzah is an important topic either way. So whether or not we get to snow is not so important. The halacha of muktzah is an extremely important topic to discuss. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, Tav Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Bey, Zak the Gemara, in the days of Nechemiah ben Chachalia is Nechemiah, Ezra Nechemiah. So Nechemiah was one of the Ksuvim. So we say that in the days of Ezra, in the days of Nechemiah, says the Gemara, they were gozer the Isra of Muktzah on Kalim. Why? Because Ezra and Nechemiah saw that everybody was being mezalzel in Hilchus Shabbos. So therefore we made a gzera that nobody's allowed to be metaltal Muktzah on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara tells us. That's when the gzera of Muktzah began. The Netziv, on his commentary in the Merome Sada, which is a commentary on Shas, so he writes over there, on that Gemara, in Shabbos Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Bey, says the Netziv, how does the Gemara tell me that Nechemiah was the first one to make the Gzeira of Muktzah? What do you mean? We have a Gemara in Shabbos Dav Lamed Amud Bey, where the Gemara tells us, there should be some extras, over there, right, somewhere? So we have a Gemara on Shabbos Daf Lamed Amud Beis. We just began. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Lamed Amud Beis that David HaMelech passed away on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Shlomo HaMelech was present when his father passed away. And the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech wanted to take his father and do something with him. His father died. His father died in the sun. The body was going to decompose until after Shabbos. So Shlomo HaMelech thought it was a bizayin to his father. So says the Gemara that the Chachamim in the times of Shlomo HaMelech and David HaMelech did not allow Shlomo to move his father's body away, even though it was going to decompose. What they tell him to do? Ah, you can't sit in the sun all day. It's going to get rotten. So the Gemara says that they told Shlomo HaMelech, put a kikar otino, put a piece of bread, or put a child on top of the dead body, as uncomfortable as that is. But now the dead body will become a basis, ledavar ha'asr and ledavar ha'mutr. Now the dead body is going to be holding a piece of bread, which is mutr, and it's also going to be holding a child. So the Gemara says, Amishum meis, they were matur you to take a kikar otino and put it on top of the dead body, and thereby go ahead and move the body from where it was in order that it shouldn't decompose. Ask the Netziv. You see from there that already in the days of David HaMelech, they made a Gzeira of Muktzah. So how can the Gemara tell us in Shabbos Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis that the Gzeira of Muktzah only started in the days of Nechemiah? What do you mean? We had it way earlier from David HaMelech. That was way before Nechemiah. So what's pshat in the two Gemaras? So this is the kasha that the Netziv asks. Explains the Netziv. What you have to say is as follows. Really, the Takana started in the days of David HaMelech. So what happens? How does the Gemara tell us it started in the days of Nechemiah? He says, no. Whenever you make a Takana, you have to make something Zera Shehatzibur Yecholim Lamadba. It has to be something that we can handle. So David HaMelech instituted the Takana Muktzah. Then he realized after a couple of years, it's not going anywhere. No one's listening to the Zera. It's not working. So they said, you know what? Forget it. Let's go back to the basics. Forget about the Takana. Maybe in a later generation, they'll be Chozer Umasakin. So Nechemiah came around. They said, okay. Now our generation is ready for the Takana, and Nechemiah now reinstituted the Gzeira that really was in place from the times of David HaMelech. So either way, whether it started in the times of David HaMelech or it started in the time of Nechemiah, it seems clear from the Gemara that Muktzah is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's not a Pasuk in Chumash, it's not learned from any Makor in Chazal. All we learn it from is either David HaMelech or we learn it from Nechemiah. However, the problem is as follows. There is a Gemara, M'sachim Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. And this is a question that's raised by the Acharonim. The question goes as follows. The Gemara tells us, now it's interesting, just parenthetically, when you talk about, before we go further, when you talk about that Gemara, by David HaMelech dying on Shabbos, so there's a lot of talk in the Acharonim about that whole Gemara. David HaMelech died on Shabbos, and Shlomo HaMelech was told he's not allowed to move his father's body. So it's strange, the Acharonim ask a kasha, the Magen Avraham has a kasha. If you look in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Yud Aleph, that's number Aleph over here, so the Shulchan Aruch paskens like this: Meisha mutal b'makom sheyari alav. Let's say the nifter Rachman al Islam passes away in a place where you're afraid that something's gonna spoil, something's gonna decompose in the body if you don't do something to it. Like David HaMelech, what happened by him? Right out in the field, the sun was beating down, and it was a problem. We were concerned. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Kikar Otinok Matatala Ideim, says the Shulchan Aruch, based on this Gemara and Shabbos Daf Lamed, if you want to put a Dover HaMutter on top of the mace, that will be Mati you to be Matatala the mace, even though the mace should have been Mukta on its own. Then you look three Seifim later in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalid, Zakta Machaber. Yesh Misha Omer, there are those who say, Shalot Sricho Kikar Otinok Ela Lemeis Arum. When does the Gemara tell us that we need to take a Kikar Otinok in order to be matur the tiltal of the mace on Shabbos? That's only when the mace is naked, when he has nothing on. But explains the Mordechai. Let's say, this is what the Shulchan Aruch is quoting from the Mordechai. But if he's clothed, if he's wearing clothing, so what's wrong? The clothing is a davar hamutar. I'm allowed to use the clothing that he's wearing. So the same way if I would put a kikar or a tinok on top of the mace, I'd be allowed to move the mace. So why isn't it good enough that the mace is wearing a suit, he's wearing a jacket, he's wearing clothing? That should be good enough to be matal to the mace. Zok to Shulchan Aruch Hanachanami, you're right. If a mace is arum, then that's the only time you need the kikar or tinok. But if a mace is clothed, which is normally the case, almost always, so then we would assume that it could just be matal to the mace by itself with the clothing, and that already is good enough. So ask the Magen Avraham, if that's true, frak the tells the Magen Avraham number base, Shamati Makshim. Says Abam Kashif, the Shulchan Aruch is correct, that as long as the mace is wearing clothing, you're allowed to be matal to the mace, even without a kikar or tinok. What do you think? David was standing outside by the pool? You think he was going swimming at the time? What do you mean? He was wearing clothing, he was the melech. He was out in the field, the melech was dressed like a melech, is supposed to be dressed, and he passed away. So what's the whole shaila in the Gemara? How are we going to move David HaMelech? What do you mean? David HaMelech was wearing clothing. Frek the Taz the Magen Avraham. How are you allowed to... Why do you say they have to be matatul my de kikar atinuk halo David lo haya arum ba'osa shosh or a mace ba'oska batara? At the time, the Gemara tells us that the Malach HaMavis couldn't kill David HaMelech because he was learning, and as long as he was learning, nothing bad could have happened to him. So I asked the Gemara, what do you mean? You think he was learning without clothing on? How could it be? Explains the Magen Avraham as follows. The Chacham Echa Tiretz. Magen Avraham and the Taz both quote this. The shiny big day melech da asurim the shar b'nei adam. Chap. Says the Taz and the Magen Avraham like this. Yeah, you're right. The Shulchan Aruch says by a regular mace, when a regular person, Rahman al-Islam, passes away and they are not wearing clothing, then we say you need a kikar or tinuk to be matur you to be matal to the mace. If they are wearing clothing, says the Shulchan Aruch, since the clothing is mutter for somebody else to wear, so now it's considered like a basas l'davar mutter. However, says the Magen Avraham, by a melech, the rules are different. Why? Because by a melech, we assume nobody else is allowed to use his clothing. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph, where we learn that everything that the melech was mishamish with, anything, his sus, his chariot, his bed, his pillows, his everything, nobody else is allowed to use it. So since all of his clothing are aser b'hanah, nobody else can use it, for we assume he goes back to the basic rule of being mukta. So they have to figure out by Shlomo HaMelech how they're going to be metalto David if everything he's wearing is mukta, because nobody's allowed to use it. So that's a nice answer that he gives. However, the problem with that is that the Gemara does say that you're right, everybody else is not allowed to use the kelim or the tashmishim of the melech, you're not allowed to use his bed, but melech acher, says the Gemara, if you have another king, so that's not a bizayon to the melech that the next king who takes over sleeps in the same White House, right? You have a president of the United States, so you don't build a new house for the president every time you elect a new one. It's not a bizayon to the last president. His presidency is over. He moves out somewhere else. Now the new one who takes his position, it's not a bizayon to the one before him. So how can you explain over here? You're right, Magen Avraham says, you want to tell me that David HaMelech was still considered mukta even though he was wearing clothing. Why is he considered mukta? Because his clothing was around? No, what do you mean? Shlomo HaMelech was standing right there. Shlomo HaMelech could have used the begadim of his father. So what's pshat in the whole thing? So that's a kasha that the Achronim ask on the Magen Avraham. What the Magen Avraham quotes here from Chacham Echad. Not only that, there are other Achronim who ask... Why not? But it means that theoretically... they're mutter b'hanah. For a melech acher, it's mutter b'hanah. Okay. But it's mutter. Mm-hmm. Okay, could be. But even further, the Achronim ask another question, and that is, the Gemara tells us in that same sugya about Hilchos Malachim, where the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, in the second parak, so the Gemara says that a melech always has to have a Sefer Torah b'zro. Melech always has to have a Sefer Torah with him. So ask the Achronim, if David HaMelech was sitting there wrapped in a Sefer Torah, and he had a Sefer Torah or tefillin on, whatever, it was Shabbos, he wasn't wearing tefillin, but he had the Sefer Torah with him, so then you could have carried him out of the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is not muktzah on Shabbos. So the Achronim are busy with that. How come the Sefer Torah wasn't good enough? So you have to say maybe David HaMelech was learning. Some stomach was learning from his own Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah was open on the table. It wasn't on his chest. It wasn't hanging on him. Okay, whatever you're going to say. There's a lot of Torah to say about that Gemara. But either way, What you see from that Gemara is that the Gzeira of Muktzah already seemed to have been around by the times of David and Shlomo HaMelech, and that's the Netziv Kasha. How can you tell me that the Gzeira only started in the times of Nehemiah if in fact it was around already in the times of David HaMelech? Why not?
I'm saying, we don't have to, right? He's not on Rav.
Yeah.
We possibly don't have to put a kikar on.
Yeah, Shmi Shimer,
said. Why not? What's the problem?
Because that's what I've seen, and whatever, we've done that. I mean, it had this happen not long ago. We did use it.
Well, I'm not sure that's the truth. I think we do hold like that. I'm not sure. I just think perhaps it's different if you have, let's say, nowadays, where we're such mufunakim, I would imagine most people wouldn't wear the big day hames that the mace died in. Is that correct? So maybe the ring, maybe something that's expensive, maybe somebody else would ring. But Stam, the mace is wearing a suit, and he passes away on Shabbos, he's wearing a suit and a tie. I don't know that many people that wouldn't be nervous to wear that after. It's just uncomfortable for us. Back in the days when they didn't...
The
big damn mace. Right. When he died, yeah. So if you're back in the times when they didn't have shoes and they didn't have suits, so of course, you're not going to waste a good suit just because the person was wearing it when he passed away. You're going to use it. But I think in our generation, perhaps it might be different because we won't use such clothing, I would imagine. Perhaps that's the reason. What? Right, okay. Okay. Yeah. Hospital gown, yeah. Why not? Why not? Why not? We'll talk about it later. Let's say we have a lot to cover tonight. So, beg it of a person, part of the goof.
You're not carrying it. You won't have it on Shabbos. It's not considered old saw.
It's not part of the goof.
It is considered. That's why it's not considered old saw. We
don't assume it's part of the goof. Exactly. Okay. It's a. It's tuffle to the goof. Doesn't mean it's the goof.
So, that's why you're allowed to wound it on Shabbos.
It's tuffle to the goof because now you're using it. If the person dies,
right.
And now he's not using his begadim anymore.
But it's the whole kasha, right?
Not exactly. Not exactly. We'll talk about it. Maybe when we learn Hotzah, maybe that will be in the coming weeks. When we finish Muktzah, maybe we'll talk about Hotzah. Sev Torah v'melech, is somebody else allowed to use? I know that the Minchas Chinuch, the Gemara talks about what happens if the Melech Yarshins a Sefer Torah. Let's say Shlomo Melech gets his father Sefer Torah. Mm-hmm. Right, his father passed away, now he doesn't need it anymore. You have to bury it? Or does he still have to write his own? Because the Sefer Torah has to be written by the Melech. I think the Gemara comes to the Maskana, I think. I haven't seen it in a while. I think the Gemara says that each Melech has to write his own. I don't know if it's Aser Bahana, no. It's just that each Melech has a Chiv to write his own. Anyway, so we have, the problem is as follows. The Gemara says, Himsechem and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. An interesting Gemara, where the Gemara says, Hamavashal Gidhanosha Bechalav Biyamtiv Loka Chamish. You have a person, it's Mamash and Avarian. He goes and he cooks Gidhanosha Bechalav on Yamtiv. So he's going to get 5 sets of Malkas. So how do you figure out? The Gemara is trying to figure out. How do you come up with 5 sets of Malkas? So let's think like this. So you have Basa Bechalav is number 1. So you get Malkas for cooking Basa Bechalav. Then, what else? It's in Chalav. What? It's Yantiv. So Yantiv shouldn't be a problem. So how do you come up with 5? So the Gemara is trying to figure out, how do you come up with 5 sets of Malkas here? Then you eat it. The Gemara doesn't say you ate it. So how can it be that in the Maisa cooking, you came up with 5 Isurim that are going to make you be chay of 5 different sets of Malkas? Zakti Gemara in the middle of that whole sugya. So you look at number Gimel. The Gemara says, one of the ways that we could be mechayev you Malkas is in the following case. If you use, in order to cook the basa b'chalav, it's not that you have a fireplace going, and now you put the basa b'chalav in a pot on top of the fireplace. No. Zakti Gemara, we're talking about a case where you use atzei mukta. What does it mean? Zak Rashi over there, the Rishonim explain, that you take etzim shayim mechubarim mebein ashmashus, I take wood that was already connected to the tree. And now, on Yom Tov itself, they fell off the tree, so they were really mukta, because when Yom Tov set in, I had no das to use them at all. They were attached to the tree. You're not allowed to do a malach of cutting them off the tree for making a fire on Yom Tov. So says the Gemara, what we're talking about is a case where I took a branch that fell off the tree on Yom Tov already, and I used that for my fire. Oh, so I violate the Isra of Muktzah.
How about an Orla tree?
Okay, so the Gemara discusses. So the Gemara discusses all these things. Frakti Gemara. We're trying to come up with ways how you're going to be chayiv Malkus. For Malkus, you need to violate an Issa Deraisa. So how can you tell me if something falls off a tree on Shabbos that I'm going to be chayiv? That I'm going to be chayiv Malkus for it? What do you mean? Muktzah is only Derabbanan. Muktzah was either in the times of David HaMelech or Nehemiah. Muktzah is not a daraisa. Zakti Gemara, muktzah daraisa hi. Exactly your kasha. What do you think? Muktzah is a nusa daraisa. Amar Layen, Zakti Gemara, yes, it is a nusa daraisa. Surprising Gemara. Dichsib. We already find the halacha in Parshas Haman that everybody had to prepare everything from before. Zakti Gemara, you see from that pasuk by the man that everybody had to prepare everything before. So you see, there's a concept of muktzah daraisa. This is a pella. This is a pella. We have mufurish gemaras that say that muktzah is the rabbanan. All of a sudden, over here, we say if you violate the isra of muktzah and you use a branch that fell off a tree on Shabbos for a fire, I'm sorry, on yantif, if you use it for a fire, you're going to violate an isra daraisa of muktzah, for which you are going to be punished with malchus. How can it be? How do you explain this? So this is the kasha that the Pnei Yeshua and the Chassam Sofer at. Zuck the Pnei Yeshua as follows. Zuck the Pnei Yeshua as follows. Really, we don't have a stiras hasugis. But the pshat is like this. You're right. Muktzah is really only midrabbanan. But there are different variations of muktzah. Different levels of muktzah. There's muktzah, which is really muktzah. And that's an issa daraisa. And there's muktzah, which is not really muktzah. And that's only midrabbanan. What do you mean? Explains the Pnei Yeshua as follows. What's that Gemara talking about in Psachim? We're talking about a case where you had a branch that was attached to a tree. And now on Yom Tif it falls off. And now I use it for my fire. He says, that's nolat. That my das was totally away. I had no das whatsoever for that branch. Because I know that the only way I can get it on Shabbos is through malacha, by cutting it off. So he says, that's nolat. That's the worst type of muktzah in the world. And over there, says Gemara, when you have something that's nolat, the Gemara assumes that that would be a violation of muktzah d'araisa. However, says the Pnei Yeshua, let's say touching a hammer, let's say touching a drill, touching my tefillin, touching other things which we assume to be muktzah, that's only a din d'rabbanan. That's not such a serious level of muktzah. That's a takana that came along later on in the times of David HaMelech or in the times of Nehemiah, and that's only because we saw that people were being mezalzel in Hilchos Shabbos, so we made a new takana of muktzah, that now you have to be careful for other items of muktzah as well, not only a branch that falls off of a tree, which is real muktzah, but now we institute a new takanas of muktzah as well. Okay, we'll have to delve deeper into these concepts of what the different levels of muktzah are. We'll see, it will become clearer as the shiur develops. We'll get to that, we'll get to that. I'm just trying to outline now, what? Oh, so we'll get. Says the Chassam Sofer. I have a different approach. Zak the Chassam Sofer. The Pnei Yeshua is very nice, and he says there's a difference in levels of muktzah. How muktzah is it? Is it really bad? Is it not so bad? That's very dakas de kechilik. How do you figure out how to draw the line? What's considered real muktzah? What's not real muktzah? Zak the Chassam Sofer, I have a different approach. It's number dalit. Va'an va'omer. Says the Chassam Sofer, this is the way to answer all these questions. Kishnei mine muktzah yesh. There are two different types of muktzah. So, starts off the same as the Pnei Yeshua, two types of muktzah, but he goes in a different direction here. Echad achila ve'echad atilta. There's muktzah meaning that I consume or I eat something, and then there's muktzah meaning carrying my hammer or carrying a drill. Those aren't the same category of muktzah. Muktzah la'achila who carved the daraisa or daraisa mamish, says the Chassam Sofer. When does the Gemara say over here? Ve'echinu es asher yaviyu. We learn out from here that there's an isur daraisa of muktzah on Shabbos. That's only by muktzah la'achila, meaning a fruit falls off a tree on Shabbos. You're going to go ahead and eat that. That's muktzah daraisa. You're not allowed to. Why? Because the pasuk ve'echinu es asher yaviyu is speaking by achila. However, he says to be metaltal things that are muktzah, to touch my tefillin, or to go ahead and carry around the drill or the hammer on Shabbos, that is only midrabanan, and that came along in later generations. Zaktach Samsofer, in the end of this paragraph, he says, and with this you can answer all the stiras in Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avrams, and you're not left with any questions. So this is the basic approach. So very nice. The problem is, when we think more about it, there is a Gemara that talks about Safik muktzah. What's the din Safik muktzah? You're not sure, let's say, if an item became muktzah on Shabbos or not. Take, for example, the Gemara says, Safik Muchan. It's the Gemara in Beitzah Daf Chav Dalet. So what are the examples that the Gemara gives there? For example, I put out before Yom Tif a big trap. We know that Seda is Aser on Shabbos and Yom Tif. You're not allowed to trap animals. So I put out the trap a week before Yom Tif. And I never bothered to check whether an animal was caught in it. Now, I go on Yom Tif afternoon. I want to go get a behemoth to eat. I want to go get a fish, a fish tank. I want to see if there are fish that are caught in my net. So I go, I didn't bother to check the week before Yantiv. Now all of a sudden I go on Yantiv proper, and I say, hey, I caught a nice little salmon. Why don't I go eat that for Yantiv? Then I realize, hey, maybe it wasn't caught before Yantiv. Maybe it was only caught on Yantiv itself. That's a Safik Muktzah. Says the Gemara, what's the halacha by a Safik Mukhan, Safik Muktzah? So the Gemara says, Safik Muktzah is us. Why Safik Mukta Aser? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Shin Chaf Hei, that's number Hei, Zakta Mechaber as follows. Eino Yehudi, let's say you have a non-Jew, Shetzad Dagim Olike Peres La'atzmo. Let's say you have a non-Jew. He's allowed to do Malach on Shabbos and Yom Tov, no problem. But he goes ahead and he catches a fish, or he goes ahead and he plucks fruits off a tree. Asurim Yisrael, I'm not allowed to have Anah on Shabbos or Yom Tov from that, because that's Mukta. Afilu Safikim Likdon, Otsidon Hayom. What if I'm not sure? A non-Jew shows up to my door with a package. He says, oh, look, some fresh fruit. So what does he mean, fresh fruit? Does he mean that he picked them today? Or does he mean that he picked them before Yom Tov? So says the Shulchan Aruch, if it's a Safik, it's Asur Boba Yom, I'm not allowed to eat it on Yom Tov, and on Matzah Yom Tov, I'm allowed to eat it right away. So that's what we see from here, that a Safik Mukta is Asur. The question is, the Magen Mishnah is bothered by the following problem. We know the Halacha always is that Safik Yerabana Lekula. Safik Yerabana Lekula. And if we assume very clearly from this Gemara on Shabbos Daf Lamed, from the Gemara on Shabbos by Nehemiah, we assume that Mukta is only Nisa Derabanan in most cases, so then why shouldn't we say the same rule should apply that we apply everywhere else in Halacha, Safik Derabanan Lekula? That should apply over here as well and say that a Safik Mukta should be Lekula. Shouldn't be Mechuyi to be Machmir. If a non-Jew shows up to my house, he says, I have some nice fresh fruits, I'm not sure if he picked them on Shabbos or Yom Tov, I should be allowed to eat them. What's the question? By achila. Okay, so let's say. Okay, so. So 1 second. So let's slow down here. So there are two answers that are recorded in the Magen Mishnah, and this is brought in the Magen Avraham. The Mishnah Berurah quote the two answers in the Magen Mishnah. Answer number one says the Magen Mishnah, and there's going to be a fundamental difference between the two mahalchim of the Magen Mishnah to answer this question. Again, the question is, why does the Gemara say that Safik Muktzah is Aser? Why don't we employ the regular principle that Safik Derabanan Lekula, we should say that the Safik Muktzah is Mutter, the same way Safik Derabanan Lekula by every other concept in Halacha. Explains the Magen Mishnah number one, you're right, it's an exception to the rule. Normally we assume Safik Derabanan Lekula, but Muktzah is an exception to the rule. Why? Because everybody was being Mezalzel in Hilchos Shabbos, and Chazal came along and said, well, we have to be very Machmer in Hilchos Shabbos because nobody's keeping Shabbos properly. So they were so Machmer in Muktzah, and they said, Yikov Adin HaSahar, we're going to make even a Safik Muktzah is going to be us. Okay, so you're right. Exception to the rule, that's the easy answer. You say, Safik Derabanan Lekula doesn't apply here because they were concerned that everyone's being Mechal HaShabbos. That's answer number one. Answer number two says the Magen Mishnah is as follows. We have a concept in the Gemara in Beitza Daf Dalet where the Gemara says a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is not Batal. What does it mean? Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin means as follows. Rashi explains it means, Ad She'tochlenu Be'Isser, Tochlenu Be'Heter. For example, I have something. What's an example? Ad She'tochlenu Be'Isser, Tochlenu Be'Heter. It's a complicated case, that Gemara there. So let's say I have a case like this. Let's say I have a little bit of truma falls into a pot of soup. What? Not on Shabbos. During the week.
Let's say for this situation, yeah. For something that's other now, it's going to be much later. Right?
After Shabbos, you mean? Well, that's a question if we asked it behind because it was Mavushal on Shabbos, so that's not a perfect example. But let's say you have like this. Let's say you have some tevel falls into a pot. So you say, you figure out the ratios for tevel being batel or for truma being batel. So the question is, why don't you just say, Ach tochlana b'isr, tochlana b'heter, go figure out a way to eat a b'heter. Why rely on bitel? Why say that you need a ratio in order to be mevatel against the isr that fell in? Why don't you say, well, I can go and be mafish truma from this batch of tevel, and then there will no longer be an isr in front of me at all, so there's no reason to rely on bitel. That's what the Gemara says, Ach tochlana b'isr, tochlana b'heter. That's the way Rashi explains why a davar sheyesh l'matirin is taken very seriously. So over here as well, says the Magen Mishnah. What are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me, Safik Mukta should be Yasser. Aye, Safik Derabanan Lekula, so we should say it's Mutter on Shabbos. Zok the Magen Mishnah, what do you mean? Just wait till after Yom Tov, wait till after Shabbos. What's the big deal? Wait till after Shabbos, and what's going to happen? It'll be Mutter. I'm allowed to eat it after Shabbos. And so wait a couple of hours. You're not so hungry, it's not a problem, you're not starving. So that's what the Magen Mishnah says. This is why we're machmir on Safik Muktzah, even though Safik Muktzah is only an Issa Derabanan, because Muktzah is only Derabanan, but still, when you have a Safik Muktzah, since it's a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, because the minute Shabbos is over, it's going to be allowed to be eaten, even if it was plucked on Shabbos, but it's going to be allowed to be eaten on Matzah Shabbos, So Atcha Tochlena Be'isir, Tochlena Be'heter. Just wait to eat it till Matzah Shabbos. There's no reason to rely on a kula to eat it on Shabbos itself. So there's a major nafkamina between these two answers of the Magen Mishnah. Again, the Magen Mishnah's first answer is that the reason why we're machmer on a Safek Muktzah is because everyone's mezalzel in Chilul Shabbos, nobody's careful about Shabbos, so therefore we're machmer even on a Safek Derabbanan. Second answer of the Magen Mishnah is, it's a Dabar She'esh L'Matir. Nafkamina would be as follows. Let's say I have fruits and they're going to rot by tonight. A Nachri drops fruits by my door, they're sitting in the burning hot sun, and they're going to get spoiled if I wait till tonight. Or he comes and he brings me something else, and it's going to get ruined if I leave it outside. I just leave it there. So what would you say in a case like that? Well, if you say the reason we're machmer on a Safek Muktzah is because we have to be machmer on Hilchas Shabbos, and you're going to say that everyone's mezalzel on Shabbos, so we have to go the extra mile and be machmer, so then it doesn't matter if they're going to spoil. The bottom line is we want people to be careful about Hilchas Shabbos, so being careful means we have to be machmer all the way. However, if you're going to say the reason why we're machmer on Safek Muktzah is because what? It's a davar she'yesh l'matirin, because just wait till Matzah Shabbos and then you can eat it. What do you mean? If I won't have the opportunity to eat it Matzah Shabbos, why? Because everything's going to get spoiled by the time Matzah Shabbos comes around, so then there's no reason to be machmer, because that's not a davar she'yesh l'matirin. It's not going to be mutter, because by the time Shabbos is out, this food is already going to be spoiled. So that is one major nafkamina between these two answers in the Magen Mishnah.
Mm-hmm. After Shabbos
you can, but on Shabbos you can't.
Not if you can eat it after.
On Yom Tov. Then the Shulchan Aruch is going back on both when he says Aval Erev Mitor Miyad. That's going back on both parts.
If he does something for himself.
Yeah, if he does it for himself, he does it for himself. Yeah, I think we assume it's going back on both. So a second afkamino, which is very interesting, would be the following. That Tzlach has a big chiddush in Maseches Psachim, as well as in Maseches Beitza. When does the Gemara say that Dov Sheyesh L'Matirin, we have to be Machmir? That's only by Midi De'Achila. But by Midi De'Tiltul, that is not the case. What does that mean? Says the Tzlach. Let's say I have over here a Safik Muktza. Safik Muktza, a Nachri shows up to my door, and he brings me a basket of fruits. Okay? I'm not sure if the fruits were picked today, or if the fruits were picked before Yom Tov. So says the Magen Mishnah, you have to be machmer. Why? Because the davar she'yesh l'matirin. I'm going to be allowed to eat them tonight. Zok Tzlach, that only applies to something which is edible. So you're going to eat the apple only one time. So we say, instead of eating it today, eat it tonight. But what if I have something which is not a disposable use? Something which you don't only use once, but you could use it 100 times. For example, the non-Jew drops off at my door other things which are not edible, but things that I can carry around the house, right? He drops off items that I'm not sure he drops off a whole basket of
wood
from a tree, and you're not sure if the wood was from before Yom Tov or from today. So am I allowed to be metaltal those or not? Says the Tzlach, well, that's not a davar she'yesh l'matirin, because I could use it today and I could use it tomorrow. So what's the whole svara why we say davar she'yesh l'matirin, you have to be machmir? That's because atcha tochlena be'isr, tochlena be'heter. If you could eat it now be'isr, you could eat it tonight be'heter, so just wait till tonight. But says the Tzlach, when you're talking about something which is a movable item, something which you're not going to eat, it's not a hanah shel kilui, as he calls it. It's not that it's a one-time usage and that's it. It's a hanah that I can have many times. I could carry these wood beams over here, I could carry them over there, I could carry them today, I could carry them tonight, I could carry them both. So says the Tzlach, in a case like that, that's not called a davar she'yesh l'matirin, because right now I want to use it. You're going to tell me, I wait till tonight? What do you mean? Tonight I want to use them again. I want to use them two separate times. So that's not called the davar she'yesh l'matirin. So if you learn like that chiddush of the Tzlach, then you would say over here that would make a major nafkamina. Why? Because if you say the whole reason that Safek Muktzah is aser is because it's a davar she'yesh l'matirin, so that would only apply to a midi d'achila. That would only apply to, let's say, a basket of fruits that gets dropped off at my house. So you say, instead of eating them today, be'isr, eat them tonight, be'heter. But if he drops off a basket full of wood, and you want to use the wood today, and you want to use it tonight again, not to burn, you want to use it just to carry around the house, you want to use it as a chair, as whatever it might be, so then, according to the Chiddush of the Tzlach, we would say, you don't have to be machmer by a Safek Muktzah in a case like that. Why? Because that's not classified as a davar she'yesh l'matirin. Now, this Chiddush of the Tzlach is an extremely fundamental Chiddush, and it's a very important one, which comes up in other contexts lahalacha as well. Just some of the examples that come up are the following, which are not really related to Hilchas Muktzah B'Shabbos, but extremely important examples. Take, for example, like this. Somebody has a suffix. We know the halacha is Simen Pei Zayin and Shulchan Aruch Yehudeya. We assume that after eating basar, a person has to wait 6 hours after he eats meat in order to be able to eat milk again. And there's three minhagim. Some say 1 hour, some say 3 hours, some say 6 hours. We once discussed this, a big issue. What's the halacha like this? I know that I have lunch every day at 12 o'clock. So normally at 6 o'clock when I get home, I'm able to eat milk like a dinner. So what happens today? I don't remember. Did I eat lunch at 12? Did I eat lunch at 1? Can't remember anymore. I'm all confused. So I get home, and I'm not sure, am I already allowed to eat milchigs or not? It's a suffix whether I waited 6 hours. So what's the halacha? When a person is masupik whether or not he ate 6 hours, does he have to wait until the 6 hours for sure pass? Meaning, I know I was back at work at 1:30. The question is, did I eat lunch at 1, or did I eat lunch at 12? So I'm not sure. Do I have to wait till it's 7 o'clock, or can I just eat at 6 o'clock and say, well, suffik d'rabban l'kula. Says the Yad Yehuda on Shulchan Aruch, well, you're not dying of hunger. So you come home at 6 o'clock. If you wait till 7, what's going to happen? Well, your wife might kill you. Why? Because she's going to be very upset that she arranged the dinner for 6 o'clock and now you're not ready to eat. Why do you have a place to get dinner at 1 o'clock? Okay, so we're not dealing with a case like that. We're dealing with a case that you could wait. You could wait till 7 o'clock. Says the Yad Yehuda, instead of eating at 6 o'clock and you're masupik, you're not sure if you waited 6 hours, just wait till 7 o'clock and you'll eat supper. What's the problem? So there's no reason to rely on a kula in a case where you could just wait another hour. It's not such a big tircha. That is what the Yad Yehuda says. However, other achronim say that's not a good argument. Why? Because the Tzlach argues as follows. According to the Tzlach, he says, when do we assume atcha tochlenu be'isra tochlenu be'heter? That means when I have one food item, one apple shows up at my doorstep on Yom Tov. I'm not sure if it was muktzah because it was plucked today or if it was plucked before Shabbos or Yom Tov. So we tell you, okay, just wait till after Yom Tov because you're only going to eat the apple once. But over here, I want to have ice cream at 6 o'clock. I want to have ice cream at 6:30. I want to have another ice cream at 7 o'clock. I want to have all of my nice milchig dishes, all of my milchig items, one after the other. It's not that I'm going to have one piece of cheese and that's it. No, I want to have a whole milchig array of foods, one after the other, after the other. So what are you going to say? That's a davar sheyesh lamatirin? That's not a davar sheyesh lamatirin. Because it's not a one-time thing. That's a person wants to eat milchigs one time after the other, and therefore, we would not classify that as a davar sheyesh lamatirin. We would assume that if a person is mesupik, whether or not he waited 6 hours after eating fleishigs, he would be allowed to go and eat milchigs. Now, why? Because your milchig meal is not going to be a one-course meal. You want to have a bunch of things in the course of your being milchigs, so we can't stop you. That's not called a davar sheyesh lamatirin. Right.
You're saying that's going underneath that. In other words, that would have been just the general
question. I should have stopped there.
Right.
I should have stopped there, said Savi Darban Lakula. The Yad Yehuda has a chiddush and he says, no, 1 minute, it's Davashesh right. Matirin. Right. But Davashesh Matirin is not a good argument. And then Rabbi Avadia Yosef says it's also a Svek Sveka. Number one, you're not sure whether or not you waited 6 hours. Number two, we're not even sure if the waiting 6 hours is the Ikar Adin. Right. The Ramah himself says you don't have to wait 6 hours. The Ramah says the minig really is to wait 1 hour. Mm-hmm. It's a chiddush in the first place that we.
I don't understand.
You can turn it into a 1 hour. So.
Okay. Sure. Correct.
I don't understand the question. When you talk about the Yishlam Etirim, you're talking about an item, a chetzer. You have the item,
right.
And you're talking about it. When you talk about waiting 6 hours, you don't have anything to wait. I mean, you're not talking about something that you're picking up and saying, this, I'm waiting 6 hours.
What do you mean? I'm waiting on a piece of cheese and on
you're
an ice cream.
You're waiting for milk. You're not waiting for a chetzer, an item. Like
I'm waiting for a bunch of milchig items. I'm waiting for a bunch of milchig items that are in front of me.
Yeah, but it's not. But that's not. That's not a nisser.
Yeah.
It's not like you say it's an isser gavra. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean. Yeah.
So therefore.
Yeah. When you pick up an apple, you pick up the wood. It's an item.
Yeah.
If you want to know if this is isser or not isser.
Yeah.
You don't have the problem with the. It's no.
It's not machalas asuris. So therefore, what?
So what's the question?
The question is on me.
What's the question about the 6 hours?
Because if you say the whole rationale for davar sheyesh lamatirin is because ad shetochlenu be'isra tochlenu be'heter on me, that why should I rely on a kula to eat a safek mukta? Ad shetochlenu be'isra tochlenu be'heter. What do you mean? It's a question on me. Right? It's a question on me. Why should I rely? What?
You mean on the 6 hours?
It's a question on me. Why should I? No, by mukta also. Why should I eat it be'heter now? Be'isra now?
You're questioning that item.
Okay.
Not questioning your eating. It's not what you're eating. You can eat anything you want.
Your pleasure.
Your question is that you want to pick up that apple and eat it. And that's the question. Mm-hmm. It's the isser on the item.
You can't
Okay?
On the wood, on the,
you're saying a chilek. The question is, does it actually make a difference in practicality to the shayla? Okay, we'll have to think about that. But one other case where this comes up is another very interesting case, and this is regarding Evna Ezer. This tzlach is really brought up all over the place. With the Nadi Behuda, who's the same person as the tzlach, the Nadi Behuda writes in his tshuva as follows, quotes his own chiddush. He said, let's say you have the halacha is that after a person, Rahman al-Islam, passes away, there's a din of menekes chaberu and muberes chaberu. The wife of a person who passes away is not allowed to get married right away after the husband passes away, if she is pregnant or if she is nursing the child. Why? Because we assume that her second husband might not be careful to take care of the baby, because he's going to say, it's not my kid, I don't have to support him. That's the first husband's responsibility. So there's a din of muberes chaberu and menekes chaberu that she's not allowed to get married up to a certain amount of time after she gave birth to a child. So let's say they didn't have calendars, so let's say we lost track. We don't know exactly how old the child is. Is he already past the age of the heter muberes chaberu menekes chaberu? Could we be makel and say, well, now she's allowed to get married because we don't know exactly where we're holding in the count and we lost track of how old the child is? Maybe she should be allowed to go ahead and get married to somebody else because Nebuch, she wants to move on with her life. What are you going to say? She's never allowed to get married. We have to wait 5 years now because we don't know. So says the Nadi Yehuda as follows. Maybe you should say it's a davar she'yesh matirin. Well, we know the kid, you only have to wait 2 years, right? Let's say, you only have to wait 2 years. So the Gemara says, well, maybe I should tell you that because the Gemara says you have to wait 2 years, so maximum tell the woman to wait another 2 years from now. Or if you know the kid is for sure a year old, you celebrated his first birthday, now you lost track, maybe he's 1 and 3 months, maybe he's 1 and 4 months, you don't know exactly how old the kid is. So tell her, wait, lefachot, wait another year, and then you'll for sure be mutter. So maybe you should say it's a davar she'yesh lamatirin. The whole thing is a safek d'rabbanan. Uberes chaver, menekes chaver is not a din d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabbanan. So it's a safek d'rabbanan. Maybe you should say it's a davar she'yesh lamatirin, so don't allow her to get married, be machmir on her and say, wait another year until we know for sure that you're out of the zone of uberes chaver, menekes chaver. Says the Nadi Behuda, no. Why? Because right now, I want to be married now, and I want to be married in 5 months from now, I want to be married in a year from now. It's not a davar she'yesh lamatirin, oh, wait to get married in a year. What am I? You go tell a chassan and kala, wait another year to get married. They're not going to be happy with that. They want to be married now. They want to be married tomorrow and the next day and every day. So that's not a davar she'yesh lamatirin because right now, I want to do what I want to do. It's not a one-time use. Nowadays, marriages are disposable. But the Nadi Behuda was talking about where marriages were not disposable. It was a long-term commitment. So therefore, he said that that would not be called a davar she'yesh lamatirin. And therefore, we would permit a woman who's mesupik, whether or not she's muberes chaver, menekes chaver, she thinks she's close. It doesn't mean where you're 2 years off. Means where you think you're close to the time, you're just not sure if you're a month before, a month after. So then we would assume that the woman would be allowed to get married based on this chiddush of the tzlach. Anyway, so muktzah is an issa d'rabbanan on Shabbos, that's for sure. Sometimes perhaps muktzah is an issa d'oraisa, maybe we'll talk more about that next week. And we said that safek muktzah is asr. The question is, what are the guidelines? Do we say safek muktzah is asr only for achila and not for tiltal, or not? And perhaps that might be dependent on the two answers of the Magen Mishnah, why we should assume that safek muktzah is more chamer than a regular safek d'rabbanan l'kula. So the question is, why were chachamim misaken the gzera of muktzah? Where did this come from? What were they concerned of? What was bothering them that made them institute this gzera of muktzah on Shabbos and Yantif? Where did this come from?
As a siyog.
Siyog to what?
To do something that's more difficult, or closer to the
raisa. Right, so what is that? What's the siyog? You're right, but what is the siyog? So the Rambam and the Ravid have a machlokes. What were they concerned about? Yeah, you're right, it's a siyog. You don't just make up gzeres d'rabbanan, but it has to be based off of something. It has to have some real halachic reality, what we're concerned that you might do. So says the Mishnah Berurah, he has a psicha to Simon Shinches.
Maybe a kiddush from left to the east, or it's from the month.
What?
And not from the month.
Yeah.
That had to be on Friday.
So what were they concerned of? So they made a takana that... So nowadays we don't have mon. So what's the concern? What's the concern when I pick up my hammer on Shabbos? What are we concerned about? Klishim alach to lisser is exer derabanan. But why? What's the problem? So maybe you'll do what? Maybe do malacha. Okay, so let's learn through a psicha of the Mishnah Berurah. He has an introduction to Simon Shinches, which this whole shir is really an introduction to Hilchos Muktzah. I hope people are finding it interesting. So there's an introduction to Hilchos Muktzah in the Mishneh Berurah himself. Let's read through it together. And here he quotes this very interesting machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid, and then he frames all of Hilchos Muktzah, which we will use going forward when we discuss Hilchos Muktzah in more detail. So the Mishneh Berurah writes as follows. Hine, kodem shenavar simen zeh, says the Mishneh Berurah, because Hilchos Muktzah, if there's anybody who's confused tonight, the Mishneh Berurah says, well, Hilchos Muktzah is actually confusing. So therefore, the Mishneh Berurah very unusually writes a introduction. So over here he says, I'm also going to give an introduction in order that everyone should have clear exactly what the parameters of Hilchos Muktzah actually are. So let's read through this together. It's very important. V'zeh aktim psicha ktana. Hine, iser tiltum muktzah shegadu chazal kasav harambam. The Rambam says in Perek Chaf Dalet from Hilchos Shabbos, halacha aleph, v'zeh loshono. Asri chacham netaltum miktzah dvar m'shabbos. There are certain items that the Chazal said one is not allowed to handle on Shabbos. Kedar shu asa b'chol. He's not allowed to use certain items the way he normally would use them during the week. Umipnei ma nagab iser zeh. Ask the Rambam the million-dollar question. Why were Chazal so insistent on instituting a gzeira of muksa? What were they concerned of? Zak the Rambam amru. Uma im hizhiru nevi'im. Vitzivu shlo yehei luchach l'shabbos ki luchach t'chol. If the Nevi'im came along and said that one has to be careful to act completely differently on Shabbos than he does during the week, v'lo sichas ha-Shabbos k'sichas ha-chol, shenemer v'dabr dover, person has to speak differently, he has to walk differently, and Rav Soloveitchik even added based on this that one would say the following. They have certain shuls, I heard that there's a shul in Manhattan where they have Friday night almost an hour drusha after davening in the winter. After davening's over. Why is that? It's not because the rabbi likes to talk. I mean, he might want to, but and he's a good speaker. But they say the reason why he does it is because the balabatim are used to eating dinner every night at 6, 7 o'clock. They don't want on an early Shabbos, nobody wants to eat dinner at 5 o'clock. It's just not going to work for them. They have a schedule, they like to stick to that schedule, so they want that Friday night, there should also be dinner at 7 o'clock. I eat Suda Shabbos, I am making Kiddush, I have to wait for Kiddush. I, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yemaher v'kaddish miyad, says in Shulchan Aruch that you have to go home and make kiddush right away. We violate this every week by the long lines we have here on Friday night. So anyway, I mean, you don't. I do. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should go home and eat right away, but they don't want to mess up the schedule. So they say, you know what, we're going to have a drusha after the Friday night davening in order that by the time we get home, it'll be 6:30, 7 o'clock, and then we'll make kiddush the same way we would normally eat a meal on the regular nights of the week. Rav Soloveitchik was very opposed to that minhag. Why? Because he said, this is exactly what the Rambam says. Your whole setup of Shabbos is supposed to be different than during the week. So if it just so happens to be that on Friday night you daven, and by the time you get home at 7 o'clock, okay. But to set up a system where you're going to have a drasha b'davka because you want tonight to be exactly the same as every other night of the week, that's connected what the Nevi'im said, v'davar davar, that every single thing about Shabbos is supposed to be different. The whole way that I act, the whole way that I compose myself on Shabbos is supposed to be completely different from the way I act during the week. And that's what the Rambam says over here. If the Nevi'im came along and told us that everything we do on Shabbos has to be different, now look back at the Rambam, Kal v'chomer, five words from the end of the line, the Rambam says, Kal v'chomer, shelo yehei tiltul b'Shabbos ketiltul b'chol. If the way we speak has to be different, if the way we eat our Suda Shabbos has to be different than the way we eat our Suda during the week, so then certainly, says the Rambam, we also have to be careful with what we handle on Shabbos. We can't walk around with the same items that we would otherwise carry during the week. Kedei shelo yehei ki yom chol be'enav. V'yavu lahagbiyo l'sakin kelim, mipino l'pino, mibayis l'bayis. You're going to start moving things around the same way you would do every other day of the week. O la'atzniya avanam achayotzabahem. You're going to start going and playing with the stones outside. That's not the way one is supposed to act on Shabbos, because that's the way he acts during the week. Sha'arehu batal v'yoshev be'besav y'yivakish devar she'yisasek bo. Why are you going to start being busy with this? Because I know that on Shabbos I'm not allowed to do malacha. So on Shabbos I don't go to work. So now what am I going to do? Oh, I'm going to catch up on everything I was supposed to do during the week. So I'm going to be sitting, moving everything around my house, and I'm going to be playing outside with all the avanim. Going to be wasting my time and spending Shabbos in a way that I'm not supposed to be spending it. V'nimtza shalosh Shabbos. Turns out, what kind of rest is that? You're sitting at home and doing everything you shouldn't be doing because you should have been doing that during the week. You shouldn't be saving it for Shabbos. Number two, says the Rambam. This is what Rabbi Lehrer was just saying. If you're going to take a kli shemalachta le'iser, let's say a hammer or a drill, the Rambam says we had a further concern. If you're going to take a hammer or a drill, maybe you're actually going to go ahead and do a malacha. The first concern of the Rambam is when I handle other things. that everything about Shabbos has to be different. Therefore, says the Rambam, what I touch on Shabbos also has to be different than what I touch during the week. The second reason, says the Rambam, is when I'm talking about a klishem lachta l'iser, when I'm talking about a vessel, an item that's used for a malacha, like a drill, so I'm concerned, maybe I'm going to go and start drilling the bookcases into the wall. But oh, number three, mipnei shemiksas ha'am einu bali umnis. There are some people out there. In the Rambam's days, it was only a minority of people who didn't work. Nowadays, I don't know. Ela b'telem kol yimeyam. Kigon atayalam v'yoshvei kranos. There are those, believe it or not, who don't actually have a job. There are people who don't do anything. Shekol yimeyam him shosim imalacha. There are people who choose not to work. V'mayam mutter lahalech u'ledaber l'taltel kishar hayamim. If you're going to tell me that these individuals are allowed to do everything the same way they do it during the week, nimsa shalosh shabbos shvisani keres. So you say, for a person that's normally a plumber, you say for a person that's normally a construction worker. So if he chooses not to do construction on Shabbos, he's showing that Shabbos is different than the rest of the days of the week. But what about for the person that doesn't do anything during the week? So he doesn't do anything during the week and he doesn't do anything on Shabbos? So for him, what's Shabbos? How do you have a Shvisa Nikaris? The Rambam is you have to make it clear that today's different. So how do you make it clear? If I am a person who just sits around my house all day, so I sit around my house today, I sit around my house on Shabbos. Says the Rambam, Lefikach, Shvisa bidvarim elu hi shvisa hashava b'chal adam. Therefore, the Chacham came along and said, everybody has to be careful not to be metalta muksa on Shabbos. Therefore, no matter what kind of person you are, no matter whether you work or whether you're retired or whatever the case might be, everybody has the same rules that you're not allowed to touch certain items. This way, we know if you walk into any home, you know whether or not it's Shabbos. U'mipnei dvarim elu nagu v'isir hatolta v'asur shalo yitalta l'adam b'shabbos ala kelem hatzarach lahem kemo sheyizbar ad kan l'shon. That's what the Rambam says. The Gzeira of Muksa was instituted because of these considerations, that we want Shabbos to be a Shvisa Nikaris, we want Shabbos to be completely different, something that's not associated at all with the rest of the days of the week, and the way we act has to be completely different from the way we act throughout the rest of the week. V'harayvit. We're still in the middle of the Mishnah Berurah's Psicha, and with this we will close once we finish this paragraph, and the Mitzvah Shem will continue next week. There's a lot more to say. Harayvit Nasantam. The Harayvit says, nope, I don't agree with the Rambam. Where did the Rambam get this from? Shvisa Nikaris, making up your own takanas? What? Shabbos has to be so different. You're going to tell me you can't have a drusha Friday night because you have to eat different time? Where did this come from? Rather, says the Ravid, Shehu Geder Lahotza. We're concerned if you're not going to be careful about what you carry, then maybe the same way you're carrying your hammer around the house, you're going to walk outside also. You're going to walk outside, you're going to carry different things without an Eruv. Shem Naltir Latalto Kaldavar. If a person is not going to think twice before carrying something, yavo ayudezeh gam lehotzi mir shesayach l'rishus harabin. And therefore, says the Ravid, Chazal came along and instituted a new halacha, that because we want you to start being cognizant of what you're doing, normally we do things by rote. We're just used to touching things, playing with things. However, he says on Shabbos, where they instituted Gzeira of Muktza, and from here on in, everybody knows that we have to think twice before we pick something up and before we do things. So now, says the Ravid, you're going to remind yourself not to carry something outside either, because you know to be careful on Shabbos with the items that you pick up. That's what the Ravid says. Now the Mishnah Berurah continues on his own. And this is a very important part of the Mishnah Berurah, because here he frames what the categories of Muktzah are that we will discuss next week. Vida. Demikan ad sof simen shin yud beis. Nisbar dalet halakim shal Muktzah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, when we talk about Muktzah, not every category of Muktzah is the same. There are four different categories. Chelek Echad, category number one is Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. Dehainu. Muktzah.
Shochet's knife.
Says the Mishnah Berurah. Kli Sheha Adam Makbid Alav Shalo Yifgom Velo Yiskalkil. Something that I would be very upset if it got ruined. For example, they say, let's say you have musical instruments. I have a violin. So I don't leave it out. Every time I finish playing my violin, I put it back in the case. When I have a piano, every time I'm finished playing, I pull down the lid. Why? Because I don't want my kids ruining the piano. I don't want little kids going and pulling the strings of my violin, my guitar out. So that's Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis, because I'm concerned, since it costs so much money, I'm concerned that it's going to get ruined, and I always make sure during the week to put it away in the special container, in the special case. So then that would be Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. And what's the halacha, as we'll see in a few weeks, but the halacha is that I'm not allowed to handle a violin or something of that nature, which is Machmas Chisaron Kis. I'm concerned because it costs money, I don't want it to get ruined. I'm only allowed to be metaltel letzarech gufo, letzarech mekoma, which means, let's say I need the violin to do something else. My son's pacifier, just an example from my house. My son's pacifiers keep falling under his crib because he throws them all over the place when he's going to sleep. So how do I get them out? I can't crawl onto the crib with my own hands. They're not long enough. So I go and I take my violin and I start pushing around till I find my son's pacifier. Usually I use a broom. But let's say I would use my violin, my guitar, to do that. So that's Litzarach Gufo. I need it for a purpose, which is mutter on Shabbos.
You use a piano sometimes to do it.
Perhaps. Depends what kind of piano you have. So,
you got the real key.
So that's Tzorach Gufo. What Tzorach Mekomo means? My violin, by mistake, when we were getting ready for Shabbos, I leave it in the middle of the dining room table. What do you mean? Right now, we need to eat Suda Shabbos on the dining room table. So that's Tzorach Mekomo. I definitely need this space. I need to do things on the table in order to have a normal Shabbos meal. So Tzorach Mekomo, I would be allowed to take my violin and carry it somewhere else. But Stam, let's say the violin, it's somewhere else. Let's say the violin is not in the middle of the dining room table. And I don't need it to get my son's pacifier from under his crib. But I realize, oh yeah, I didn't put the violin away in the case. I was practicing right before Shabbos. I didn't put it away. So I want to now put it away in the case to safeguard the violin, that it shouldn't get ruined. So would that be permissible? Well, it's not Tzorach Gufo. I'm not using it for a purpose, which is mutter. I'm not using it in order to get my son's pacifiers out from under his crib. And I'm not using it because I want to take it off the table that I should be able to eat Suda Shabbos. Only reason I'm touching it is why? Because I don't want it to get ruined, because I left it out in the living room and now the kids are going to go play with it. Well, no. That says the Shulchan Aruch, that's not permissible. Because something which is Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis, you would not be allowed to move it Mechama Litzel. You're not allowed to handle it for its own purposes. You have to only handle it if it's the Tzorach Gufo or the Tzorach Mekomo. So that's category number one. We'll be finished in 5 minutes. Category number two, Chelek Bey, says the Mishnah Berurah. Davar she'eno kli v'lo maichal adam v'lo maichal behema kagon. You have a second category, which is stones, avanim, v'kanim, umos, v'eitzim, v'koris, v'afar, v'chol, umes, v'achai. Let's have a dead body. What am I going to use a dead body for on Shabbos? Nothing. Right? I have nothing I can do with it on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, that's muktzah. Let's say I have stones, I have sticks, I have avanim, I have afar, I have dirt. So that has no usage on Shabbos. It's not that I could use it for a different purpose. It has no usage at all on Shabbos. So in a case like that, says the Mishnah Berurah, Chol Chayotze Bezeh, Delo Chazi Yomikri, Muktzah Machmas Gufo. That's real Muktzah. That I have no purpose for at all. And in cases like that, we assume also that you would be allowed to carry it Litzorach Gufo or Litzorach Mekomo. Then the third category of Muktzah that we have is a Klisha Malachta L'Isser, for example. What? You have a hammer, you have a drill, something like that. And I would normally only use a hammer for doing a malacha. So that's called a klisha malacha l'isser. And then chelek dalet.